Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of
Hello, everybody. God bless you today, and we know this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will try to rejoice despite everything that's going on. It's been a crazy week. Oh my, what a week. But we know that God is on the throne. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So many things to talk about. So many things to ponder. I know so many people feel very angry over the events of the last week. But let me say this. Don't believe everything you see on TV or everything you hear, because the news media, for the most part, they're very dishonest. They're terribly dishonest, and they take things known as sound bites, and they'll take a sound bite. And they can take someone's quote and take it totally out of context, and they will take the soundbite and they will repeat it over and over and over again. For instance, there was an issue, I guess, about a week ago with Donald Trump. Now, I'm following this election pretty closely, and I watch the news. I watch the news quite a bit, I like to investigate things. It's part of my personality. But so I listen to the person themselves talking. Say, for instance, if I hear Donald Trump saying something, or I hear Hillary Clinton saying something, I listen to exactly what they said. And then you'll go back and you'll get the sound bite from the news media. And then the news media takes it totally out of context. They'll take it and they do something that they call spin, and they can spin a story to get you to believe the story the way they want to portray it. So, for instance, they say, well, Donald Trump, he had a something on Twitter. He uses Twitter a lot, and he put up a quote about Hillary. And he put up, somebody put up this artwork. I mean, it didn't look like a Jewish star to me. It didn't look like a Star of David. That was a very strange Star of David. It looked like a badge. And if you go on the internet, they have these sheriff's badges or badges that look like that. And if you look for a Jewish star, you'll see that a Jewish star is different than that. So what the news media did is they want to create this reality. Now, I don't know Donald Trump. I've never sat down with him on a personal basis and asked him questions. So I can only tell you what I see him saying, what I actually see him saying, and then what I see the news media saying as far as the sound bites and the spin. So they take the story, and they ran with this story probably 3 or 4 days in a row, the fact that Donald Trump put up this Jewish star and he hates Jews and he's a racist. And of course, he came out and said that it was supposed to be represent a sheriff's badge because it was about crooked Hillary, lying Hillary. And that was what the gist of the tweet was on Twitter. But yet the news media takes it and they spin the story, and what do? They get people angry, and they get them all stirred up. And if you don't watch the news, if you're not a news junkie like me and some other people, and you don't I watch trends, and I like to I like journalism, but I like good journalism. And most people on CNN and Fox News, they're not really journalists. They're talking heads. They read from a script. Most of these people don't go out themselves and report on the stories. They probably use the wire services. Because if you notice, most of the news repeats itself. And take, for instance, our local news stations. We have three local news stations here in the Tampa Bay area. And you can turn them on at 5 o'clock, and every single one of them is reporting the same news. And they even almost simultaneously report the same stories. So where's the journalism in that? There's no journalism in that. So by the time they were finished with Donald Trump, they probably had quite a few people believing that he actually hates Jews, and he put up this anti-Semitic tweet about Hillary Clinton, which was so far from the truth. Like I said, I don't know Donald Trump. All I know is what I heard him say. I heard him addressing a group of Jewish people a few months ago, and he mentioned the fact that his son-in-law is a Jew who is also a grandson of Holocaust survivors, and his daughter, Ivanka, converted to Judaism. So it would be hard for me to believe that he hated Jews. Oh, please. But even the whole situation with inciting hatred over the week with the shootings. Now, I have not watched the videos of the two men that were shot. I couldn't look at it. Maybe I'll be able to look at it sometime this week. I couldn't look at it. So I haven't watched the videos. There was just a part of a video that I saw of the young man that was shot in his car, and his girlfriend was sitting next to him, which I don't know if she was, what she was trying to document. I don't think they documented the whole incident. I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody can straighten me out. Like I said, I haven't seen the whole video. Was the whole incident documented, where from the time of the stop to the time he reached in his glove compartment, something about he told the police officer he had a gun? I don't know. The only part of the video I saw was when the girlfriend was sitting there next to her boyfriend. He was bleeding, and she was making a video. So I will watch it and then try to report on it. But I don't know the whole story yet. I don't know everything that happened. I have not really heard the report yet from the police departments about exactly what happened. I didn't like what I saw either. I mean, it made me angry what I saw. I didn't see everything and I didn't hear everything, but yeah, it made me angry. But we have to temper our anger because the news media, they take the story and they get people all riled up. And then what did we wind up with? Five dead police officers, seven other police officers shot. They didn't do anything to anybody to deserve to be shot. So the whole week was horrible. It was just one thing after another. And you can't believe everything the news media tells you, or they tell you what they want to tell you sometimes. They're not telling you the whole story. So it's up to us to gather all the facts of everything that's happened and even to do our own documentation. Now, I have some facts here. Now, I'm not saying these are true either. These are from the Washington Post. And what I'm going to do this week, and I would encourage my listeners to do the same thing if you want to find out for yourself statistics on police shootings. And whatever state you live in, I don't know if they keep a record of those things, but you could call your state government or whoever oversees the police departments in the state and ask them if they keep a record of police shootings of suspects and how many people are shot in a particular area and what color their skin is when they're shot. So, but it would be a good thing for us to do this kind of fact checking ourselves, and so that we know, try to gather the information, because here now, according to the Washington Post, now you can go if you want to go and look at these statistics yourself. You can see these yourself. For instance, here in the state of Texas, and I think these are from 2015, 95 males were shot and 3 females. The race, 45 white, 18 black, 32 Hispanic. And the ages, under 18, 1, 18 to 29, 38, 30 to 44, 36. And then it also has the threat level, attack in progress, 64. And then it also has undetermined. Well, that's the state of Texas, but you could bring up all the 50 states are here with this data. I'm not saying this data is 100% accurate. I don't know. But it would be interesting, and if anybody does do it, if you could email me and tell me what you came up with. I'm going to do it for the state of Florida because I'm very curious. We have to deal with the facts. Okay, here's the state of Florida. 59 males shot, 1 female. Race, white, 24, black, 26, Hispanic, 9. Let's look at another state here. Let's look at the state of New York. The state of New York, male shot 19, female, 0. There weren't a lot of police shootings in the state of New York. White, 9, black, 8, Hispanic, 0, according to this. Let's look at Georgia. Male, 27, female, 2, white, 17, black, 10, Hispanic, 0. Like I said, there's the whole 50 states here, and this is the Washington Post. If you put in your search engine, police shooting statistics for 2015, you'll see it. Now, I'm not saying we don't need police reform. I think we do. I mean, absolutely. But I would say the majority of police officers do their job to protect people, which they do. They do. I mean, imagine if we didn't have police, we'd have utter chaos. We'd have anarchy for sure. So you need a police department. Do they need some reforms? Yes. But we can't hate. And hear people. I'm surprised some of these people weren't arrested themselves, saying things like, let's kill the police and other things like that. We can't threaten people, and we can't use violence to get our point across and hurt people. It makes you angry. Yeah, it makes you good and angry what's going on. But yet we need to get our facts straight and get the stories straight because we've seen this in the past where they showed video and then a few days later different facts emerge as to what really happened at the event. And even I'm surprised it's taking this long to get all the facts out with the two shootings of the two men at the beginning of the week. So I'm telling you, we need a lot of prayer because I don't think anybody should hate anybody and try to get revenge on anybody. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So it's not our job to try to get vengeance. But we need some changes, absolutely. Some things need to be changed. But we just have to be careful because you can incite people. People get so upset and they become so incited that they want to lash out. And then they want to go and hurt somebody that's innocent and they didn't do anything. So nobody liked what happened to the two men. I still don't have the whole story. And nobody likes what happened to the police officers either in Dallas. Oh, it's awful. Just awful. But here's a couple of scriptures about hate. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. I need to read more of that scripture because that's a good scripture. I'll get that up for you in a minute. But Leviticus 19:17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. You know, it's hard to love people that hate you. It is. It's difficult. I think all of us experience that one time or another in our life. But we just have to remember who our Lord and Master is and try to deal with things according to his word. It just works out better that way. Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But anyway, I want to get that scripture, Proverbs 6. That's a good scripture. I like that one. Because we're going to talk a little bit about Paula White and her brother, Rod. They just had a little get-together, those two. And they seem to have formed quite a partnership there. But they're so much alike, you know, I wouldn't doubt it. So, but anyway, like I said, if anybody does find out some information about police shootings in your state, please email me with the, if you can actually get the data from the police departments, that would probably be the best source, because I'm just telling you what's here in the Washington Post. And it says 990 people shot dead by police in 2015. Uh, and that's the WashingtonPost.com. $990. That's quite a few people shop, but it would be an interesting piece of research to do, and then see if you could get it on CNN or Fox or one of the news stations. The actual data, not what people are saying, and not how they're trying to spin a story to stir up strife and hatred between people. That's not going to solve anything. But also, I was looking at some of these statistics about police officers being shot. And these are older figures from governing.com from 2008 to 2012. Quite a few police shootings, and what I found interesting. Now I would never have figured this one out. States with the highest death rates: South Dakota was number one. Montana was number two. Alabama, three. Mississippi, four. North Dakota, five. No, I would have never put those states as the top states for police officer fatalities. It says about half of the fatalities result from traffic accidents. Shootings also account for a high number of deaths, followed by falls and work-related illnesses. So that's some data for you anyway. And we'll see how this whole thing plays out. Now, I grew up when I was a teenager in the 60s, and there was all kinds of chaos going on. It was a frightening time, let me tell you. There were so many shootings and assassinations and protests. It was a very, very strange time, but it's kind of like history repeats itself again. But let sound minds prevail, and let's see what happens here as we search for the truth on all these matters, because we need to know the truth of what's really going on here. But everybody has their prejudices. It doesn't matter who you are. We all have things in our hearts that we have to deal with when it comes to human beings and how they look or whatever. All of us have prejudices. Some are worse than others. Yes, they are. Definitely they are. And we're still dealing with a lot of that, no matter what people say. We know it, so you can't hide those facts, but we need to try to work things out in a peaceful manner so that people don't get hurt. Because even the conversations we have on this program, we have many conversations about these preachers, we call them pimp preachers, but I don't want to incite anybody to try to hurt any of these people. God is their judge, and he's perfectly able to take care of these people. So I don't have to do anything to try to hurt anybody. We report what they say. And usually we play their audio, or they're actually saying these things. We're not saying they say it. But we don't want to incite anybody to hurt anybody. That's not our job. It works the same way in politics. the news media, they realize that, of course, they reach millions of people every day, and they realize that they have power. Who was it that said it? Was it Shakespeare or whoever said this, that the pen was mightier than the sword? I can't remember who said that, but what you write and what you say, you can have tremendous influence over people. So we can either, that's why it has to be truth. If it's not truth, then people get incited over conversation that isn't true, and it makes them angry, and before you know it, somebody's getting hurt. So I'm hoping that we can have some calm over the next few days and search the truth out and find out for ourselves what exactly has taken place over the past week, and hopefully these police departments will try to rectify and bring to justice whoever needs to be brought to justice, absolutely, and also that they will try to rectify some of their procedures and try to do things differently. But most policemen will lay down their life for you. They will protect you when it comes to somebody trying to hurt you or somebody trying to break into your house. That is their job. So, yeah, there's probably some bad people. Yes, I would say there is bad people. I'm not going to say probably. Yes, there probably is, or there are bad people. And I would say it would be hard even to kind of turn that thing off when you're trained to kill. I think that's why so many soldiers come back from war and they have PTSD and they have terrible psychological problems, because they're taught to kill, and then they come back and they're trying to adjust to normal life, and it's very hard to do. But it's the same thing, I think, that would happen with somebody that was a police officer, where most of their training is probably learning how to shoot guns and how to take people down and that kind of thing. And I imagine they probably, when they're in the thick of things, there's probably adrenaline, and then they might be too quick with the gun there. So, so they could lose it. And I'm sure that happens. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm sure it does happen, but it wouldn't be an easy job. And so we need to pray for these people, and hopefully things can be done better. We don't want any more people getting hurt. That's for sure. It's just been awful. Awful. But anyway, it was also an interesting week with, was interesting, right, with Hillary Clinton and her email scandal. I thought this was interesting, and I didn't know this, but somebody put it on Twitter yesterday, that the FBI director Comey was also involved 20 years ago. He was a deputy special counsel on the Senate Whitewater Committee when they were looking into the conduct then of President Bill Clinton and Hillary when she was first lady. And that focused on whether Bill had used his political position as governor of Arkansas in the 1980s to push through an illegal loan to benefit the couple's business partner in the Whitewater Real Estate Development Corporation. But it's kind of interesting that he was investigating her back then, and now he's also, it's kind of interesting too that Bill Clinton was impeached, but yet he stayed on as president. Oh, that was very strange. But and so then Comey is the FBI director, and someone had said that they didn't even put her under oath when they interviewed her last week. And then he came out with his recommendation saying that there wouldn't be any charges against her, even though he claimed she'd been careless with national security. Oh, well, yeah. Needless to say, they were pretty careless with national security. Yeah, interesting. But that was an interesting fact. So, would make a good story. Last week, Rod Parsley had a camp meeting, and well, it must have cost him a fortune to put this thing on, because he had some of the speakers he had, Perry Stone. Now we remember Perry, right? Perry, remember when we did a program about Perry, and Perry interviewed his father, Fred Stone, who I think since has passed away. And you can see this video on YouTube. And Perry is sitting there interviewing his father, and his father is saying that dead friend appeared to him when he was in a cabin and told him he was called to preach, blah, blah. Well, and, you know, Perry is sitting there with a straight face, and he's agreeing with his father. Yeah, wow, Dad, you know, that's wonderful. Now, we know that we're not supposed to talk to dead people, right? We know that. That's called necromancy. We're not supposed to communicate with the dead. We're not supposed to do that. Like people that say that they died and they went to heaven and they came back and they were talking to Peter and Paul, and they were talking to everybody, and they would talk to their grandma and they talked to their grandpa, and then they came back to earth. And you even hear these testimonies where people say they died and they went to hell and they came back. Well, no, that can't happen. That doesn't happen. That's not scriptural. My Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. So I don't see anywhere in scripture where it says that you can die and go to hell and come back and you get a second chance. That doesn't happen. So, and it can happen. It's not scriptural. So when you see these people on TV and they're telling you they went to hell and they came back, and they went to heaven and they came back, and usually there's a tape series or something involved, and then they go on the lecture circuit and they get a lot of speaking engagements, because people, they're very curious about, oh, they want to know about going to heaven and coming back. I really personally, when I die, I don't want to come back here. There's no way I'm coming back here. Why in the world would I want to come back here after I was in heaven? So I don't really think that anybody wants to come back here after they die. Now, for what? Like, what purpose would they have of wanting to come back? Supposedly there's somebody out there and they're saying that they were in heaven for 8 hours and they came back, and please, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And, of course, you know, they're very special. Wow, I never saw Jesus. God never talked to me audibly. I never went to heaven. I never went to hell. That just didn't happen to me. I guess I'm not special. But please, just don't waste your time on these testimonies, because if they can't back it up with scripture, then it just doesn't happen. And Jesus warned us about it. He said, don't go chasing after a wicked and perverse generation is always looking for a sign and a wonder. And the devil, will he'll give you plenty of signs and wonders. We trust God. We live our lives every day, and we try to do our best to get through every day. And we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to get us through. And there's plenty of charlatans out there that they've got a story to tell you. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then forget about it. It's just not so. And anyway, Perry was at this conference there. And at Rod Parsley's, and of course he had Paula White, his sister, his new sister that he's adopted, and he had Cheryl Brady and Tudor Bismarck, and you know, it was so pathetic because I watched a little bit of the introduction that Miss Joni Parsley, you know, the one that's raising up her daughter to be just like her husband, to learn teaching her daughter how to fleece people. Shame on you, Miss Joni. And then she gets up and she says, she's up there announcing Tudor Bismarck, and she's crying, she's shedding tears, and she's saying, I'm not even worthy to introduce him. Now, please, like, who is she introducing? Jesus himself? Tudor Bismarck, he's a man, okay? He's a man, just like any other man. He has a Bible. He quotes the Bible. That doesn't make him anything special. He's not special. Oh, but she's really laying it on. I don't know why she was flattering him so much, but she was. Ooh, she's shedding tears. And then she's talking about Spurgeon and trying to sound so holy. But this whole conference, really, most of it was just a fundraising, one fundraising gimmick after another. Every preacher they had, it didn't matter what kind of a sermon he preached. Now, I didn't listen to all the preachers. I listened to a couple of them a little bit at a time because I can't take too much of those people. And I like to listen mainly to the end when they're taking up the offering, just to see, like, can they go through one service without scamming people somehow with some kind of a seed faith scam? Most of them couldn't. They couldn't help themselves because most of them were called to preach at this conference so that they could raise money for Rod. And he must have had 10 or more guests, speakers, musicians, and speakers. So it's expensive to bring in these people. He probably had to fly them in first class because I'm sure they don't fly coach, no. And he has to put them up in nice hotels and whatever. And then he has to give them big honorariums because they were so good at fleecing people that he has to bless them so that, and depending on who was the best fleecer at this convention that he had, then he'll invite them back, you know. If they were really good at fleecing, like Paula, she was excellent. She was on top of her game that night with her fleecing. Because Paula, now I'm going to play a clip, and you'll hear for yourself, Miss Paula White, in action over there. Because she went through all these machinations, preaching, jumping, screaming, crying, quoting Scripture, telling people how to live holy and how to be good Christians. And then she wraps it up with, and she didn't miss a beat, you know. She wrapped it up with, the Holy Spirit told me that there's 50 people here tonight that are to give $1,000. She couldn't help herself. But yeah, she... And Rod, I mean, he was salivating because he thought, wow, $50,000. And they, I think they got it. And they even got more. They had people coming up. And most of the people that came up, they just looked like they were totally hypnotized. And they weren't thinking. They were just walking up there, handing over their checkbooks, which most of them, believe me, they didn't even have $1,000. No, they didn't even have it. They were borrowing it from their rent payment or something. They didn't have it. But they had to go up there because Paula told them that if they came up with a sacrifice, and the sacrifice always involves giving some money to Rod, you know. So they had to come up with this sacrifice of $1,000, and then she was going to actually, you could put it in her hand. It was that special that you could go up there and she was going to take your $1,000 out of your hand, and then she was going to grab your hand, and she was going to pray for you. And she even threw in a couple prophecies to some people. The funniest part, if you could call it funny, but Paula says, at one point, she looks directly at the camera. Now, I don't know, maybe she was talking to me, or she might have been talking to my friend, the Wolf Tracker, because he tracks Paula a lot. And she looks right at the camera and she says, "I know that you like to call me a heretic, but you don't have any theological basis to do that." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, really? Wow. No theological basis to call you a heretic? Well, you are a heretic, because Jesus Christ never asked anybody to bring up any $1,000 sacrificial offering to get anything from him. So you're a liar." And then she says that, she said, "Well, you know, Rod," she turns to Rod, and she asks him to come sit by her because she's flattering him. You know, he's lapping it up. She says to him, "Pastor Parsley, could you please come on up here and stand near me because I need your apostolic anointing." And so he goes up there, ooh, the apostolic anointing. It's not an apostolic anointing. It's the fleecing anointing. It's the extortion anointing. Please. So then she says that, "You know, Rod," well, she doesn't call him Rod. No, you can't call him by his first name. "Hey, Pastor, I haven't done this in a long time," she says, "because I was taking so much heat from people for doing this, I stopped doing it." Yeah, well, Paula, I have news. Paula, I've got news for you, okay, because you want to talk about heat? Hell is hot. That, yeah, you were taking heat because you were telling people to come up with $1,000 so Jesus could do something for them. Yeah, Paula, I know of a place that's real hot. Yeah, it's real hot. And then her and Rod, they talk about the haters, those haters out there. Yeah, well, there's one person. There's one person, I'll tell you, God hates it too. Yeah, here, I'm going to show you Proverbs. Remember, I was telling you about Proverbs 6, okay. Proverbs 6:16. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." So I just want to remind you, Paula, in case you're listening and you like to talk about the haters, well, there's one person that hates it even more than me, and it's God. So ask him about it. Ask him about it, about your $1,000 that the Holy Spirit, and then you even blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You even blaspheme the Holy Spirit by saying that the Holy Spirit told me. No, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you anything like that, because the Holy Spirit does not talk like that. He has never talked like that. Jesus doesn't talk like that. God the Father doesn't talk like that. Only your father, the devil, talks like that. It's the only person that talks like that. Anyway, it was quite the conference. I'm sure he took in quite a bit of money, which he needs desperately, but it's not going to save you, Rod. It's not going to save you. Now, I don't know. I'm going to play this clip. You might hear me in the background making a few comments here when I was taping the thing. I could hardly control myself when I was listening to this woman and one lie after another. But she actually had the nerve to say that when Jesus, she was telling people that they had to make a sacrificial offering here in Columbus. Does anybody in Columbus want to make a sacrifice, she was saying. And she actually had the nerve to say that when Jesus died on the cross, the odor of the burnt, something about the odor of the burnt offering, he smelled the odor of the burnt offering. I never heard a scripture like that. Is there anybody out there that ever heard a scripture like that? Did you ever hear a scripture like that? That when Jesus died on the cross, he smelled the aroma of the burnt offering? And she says that we have to bring, the people there had to bring this $1,000 up because it was going to be a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. Oh, I couldn't believe it. I never heard anything like that. I never heard anything like that. To actually compare the Lord Jesus' death on the cross and this $1,000 scam that she ran over there last week, place. And as she was running this scam, she looks at Rod and she says, I can't teach all this tonight. I'm going to have to come back. So she was looking for another invitation to come back. And she pleased Rod so much by raising probably, I would say she probably raised $100,000, maybe, that of course he's going to ask her back. We'll probably be seeing a lot more of Rod and Paula in the future because he could hardly contain himself when she said that the Holy Spirit told me there's 50 people to give $1,000. He almost fell off. He almost passed out right there. He almost did. So, it was quite the show there. They were putting on quite the show, Paula and Rod, the new dynamic duo over there. Here it is. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of this clip here, and you can hear it for yourself, and I know that your mouth is going to drop open when you hear this, the so-called anointed woman of God.
Is a sweet odor and aroma because he says, the apostle says, "You, I asked of you and you didn't give it to me." He said, but basically said, all my needs were met anyway. And he rejoiced over their giving later that they sent unto and they gave sacrificially, he said, and let it be basically a sweet odor, a sacrifice, a smell that goes before the nostrils of God, that the only the other place you see that is Ephesians 5:2 and New Testament, where Christ hung on the cross and he could smell the aroma of the burnt offering. So you want all your needs met, and you're according to his supply, all your needs met according to his riches and glory? Is there a sacrifice in Columbus? Because a sacrifice is always required. I wish I had more time, Pastor. Maybe I can come back sometime. So you have got to bring a sacrifice. Repentance. I'm going to finish it. The first words are the most important. Repent! Thy kingdom has come. Repent is, and I'm sorry. I return to the place of departure. Where did you depart from following God's instruction? So when you return there, you come back in alignment. And you open up. When you open, I don't have time to even teach all this. But you, I am, thank you, sir. I will open you the window of heaven. You think that the window of heaven's up there. You are the window of heaven that God is going to open and pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it.
Yes.
You're the window.
Yeah,
and some of you have built a door. Some of you built a wall because you haven't obeyed. So repent. So the kingdom can come and you'll have your full power. Sacrifice. Here's what I felt in my spirit. And the rest of you can do what God tells you. I felt in my spirit there were 50 people that were to give $1,000. And I haven't moved in this probably in years because too many people were too critical of me. And I just got tired of taking the heat.
Yeah. Well, I have news for you, Paula. There's somebody that's real critical of you. And you're going to stand before him one day and have to give an explanation for your lying and your scamming, because that's all it was. I had another clip. It doesn't seem to have loaded properly here. As she went on and on and on, I don't know, she took about 15 or 20 minutes trying to raise this offering. But she talked about a spirit of poverty. Now, I don't know, like, can somebody please tell me what a spirit of poverty is? because these people, they blame everything on the spirit of poverty. I don't know. My Bible says I'm redeemed from the curse, so I don't have any soul ties or generational curses, or I don't have any spirit of poverty. The only way I'm going to have poverty is if I don't work. Then I'll have some poverty. If I don't pay my bills, if I buy things I can't afford, if I lie, cheat, and steal, yeah, I'm going to have some poverty. But that's not a spirit of poverty. That's me. So if anybody has a spirit of poverty out there, you probably created it yourself. So how are you going to get free from the so-called spirit of, because they always blame it. It's the spirit of poverty. And they always have an answer for you that you can break the curse of the spirit of poverty by sowing, giving them some money. And then miraculously, you don't have to pay your bills anymore. You can have debt cancellation. You can actually have your debts forgiven. You don't have to pay your debts anymore. Your foreclosed house, you can live in it without paying the bank. You can do all these things dishonestly. But because you have broken the spirit of poverty, it's okay. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. So it's just that simple. And we have to learn how to manage our money. They don't like to tell you that. They like to tell you that they have a great escape for you. And it always involves putting something in their hand. She's such a con artist, really. Paula, you have received the Pimpette of the Week award on my radio broadcast here. you can call people out. You can call people haters. You can. We're just trying to tell you the truth, Paula, so maybe you can get saved and do the right thing by God's people. We're praying for your salvation because you sure need Jesus. You sure talk about him a lot, but you don't talk about him in a holy, reverent manner with respect and honor at all, because my Jesus doesn't act like your Jesus. No, he doesn't act like that. So we'll see what happens in the days ahead here. You can just never run out of material with these people because they never stop. And I believe that Paula White probably, she has a PR agent. She puts out a lot of these press releases herself, even like the one that came out where she supposedly led Donald Trump to the Lord. How could she lead anybody to the Lord? She doesn't know him herself. So I'm sure her press agent has been putting out stories about her, and she's been getting a lot of publicity lately, and she's reveling in it, but she hasn't changed her spots at all, not at all. So I don't care what kind of sermon they come with or how many times they talk about Jesus and they tell you to repent, and they preach all these great sermons, and then they come out with these stupid statements and they prove how biblically illiterate they really are. They don't know. They only know parts of the Bible. They take it and they get the crowd all stirred up and all riled up, and they play on your emotions, and then they hit your wallet. They were all doing it at this conference. They were masters of manipulation, and then talking about their great ministries and this building and that building, and I have this and I have that. Well, I would rather have a little and have my integrity than to be a pimp. That's for sure. So that should be our heart too, is to be satisfied with what God has given us and to be grateful for the things that we have. Because how blessed, I was thinking this morning, I live in Florida. It's pretty hot here. I love my air conditioning. I was praising the Lord. Oh, I love air conditioning. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it a blessing? So we have so many things to be thankful for. Let's remember to thank God and to try to do our best to live a good, honest life and not bring a reproach to the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, that's the program for today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you have any questions, please email me, susan@propheticmuse.com. Whatever you have to say, I'm open to hearing it. And don't forget the most important thing today is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of life. Ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Read the third chapter of John. Read the whole book of Romans where it says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And Jesus said you must be born again. Repent of your sins today and ask Jesus Christ to change your life. He'll give you a brand new life. And don't forget, read your Bible. Study to show yourself approved. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and being a part of my program. I sure appreciate all my listeners very, very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.